Okay.
Discussed last time. I tried to do it. And there is no curvature. Here I come. Mostly a horizontal line.
Are you using a disk?
Oh, yes.
Or an SSD?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so I tried different things. So basically, I specify the number of cylinders to jump, and I use the logical, whatever the logical numbers that provided. And for the various cylinder jumps, I find what is the time for each of the requests.
So, you wrote a program to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does your program do?
So, this is what it does.
What does it do?
So, from the starting cylinder until
You don't know about cylinders. You only know about sectors, correct? You know about the block addresses.
That's true. I know the LVAs. Mm-hmm. But I also know the mapping, the logical number of cylinders that the disk has.
Right, but your I/O requests are going to be to block numbers.
Right, exactly.
So, you don't send any cylinder information to disk?
No.
In the request?
Right, no.
So,
no.
What
to the disk, I use the block number request.
Okay, so what block number do you use?
So, I increment the cylinders.
No cylinders.
Okay. What?
What are the block numbers you're using?
Well, they're all, what do you mean block? I mean, all the blocks from the starting block to the end of the disk with certain number of jump, which I determine from the logical number of cylinders. So, like, first it reads the zeroth block, the zeroth LVA. Then it reads, I think, then it does one cylinder jump, so I find the approximate number of blocks in one cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I increment it by that much. And then within the cylinder, I do five...
What call do you use? What system call do you use?
L6.
L6. You don't use L664?
L664.
Then you do...
And I do ODirect.
ODirect. Do you have page line?
Read only, yeah.
And you're doing random sectors, right?
Right, yeah.
You get the straight line.
Well, not exactly that, more or less a straight line.
Can you draw the lines?
Well, it's like...
Can you draw the graph that you get?
It's something like this, actually. But this is like for
what is the y-axis?
Oh, this is the time.
Okay.
The total axis time.
Total axis time.
Right, because you cannot
differentiate. For one I/O request?
Yeah, for each I/O request.
And how is that time?
And this is the blocks actually. Yeah, this is blocks, not cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was something like I think something like this. I don't remember. Between this and something like this.
Can you write the units?
No, wait. Okay, I'm not sure about the decimal, but these are like 1 second. I don't remember the numbers.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us anything.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what's going on with your disk, with your code. This is not what you should be getting, as you know. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what is wrong.
And I try to do approximately 4 to 5 seek within each cylinder.
Within each cylinder?
For each number of cylinders.
For each number of cylinders.
Right, so if the number of cylinders is 5, then have to do 5 I requests within which have 5 cylinder gap between them.
Mm-hmm. you know what I would do? I would just do random sector reads.
Okay.
And then plot the graph. If I do random sector reads long enough, then for each consecutive request, I have a sector distance, which is what you should use for the x-axis.
Yeah.
And then the time you should use for the y-axis. So just a distribution of sector distances and time. That should give you the C curve without worrying about cylinder or anything like that. And later on, you can map your sectors to cylinders if required.
Or if it is blocks or cylinders, it doesn't matter once you have the C curve.
I'm saying that you don't need to worry about, am I doing 5 or 10 trials per cylinder distance. Just do random. I mean, you start with some random seed and do a whole bunch of random reads. What are you doing, reads or writes?
Reads.
And how big a request are you issuing?
8 blocks.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong. Okay, what else?
okay, so for this I'll try with the random, completely random axis. The other thing was the NOAC model.
You can erase all of that report.
So, for the norm, the transformation is only for the number of weeks because of the merging. So, the number of weeks for each of the type of random equals that is smaller. Small or large equal. Is it local or the large number of equals?
I have to ask you something. Why the number of seats?
Right.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
So this is the transform number of seats. That would be the original number of seats minus, because it could reduce after the merging. The number of requests for the small or the large model is the total grade. Because
we
want
requests for the small or large model.
For the small or large seats.
Number of requests that lead to small or large seats.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. Times the probability of merging.
Request that. Isn't the number of seeks the same as n of s dash s?
Yes, it's only one minus.
And I'm debugging your formula online. You're supposed to have thought about this for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's straightforward. One minus probability of merging. The whole trick is in probability of merging.
Right. So for this, I have a formula for that.
Okay.
But I think that is restrictive in that, and I realized it today that is for only if we have requests which are Poisson arrival rates, or which have uniform distribution.
Isn't that good? I mean that you.
No, because most requests are not like that. You want something that is. That
so why would you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how come you came up with the probability of merging for Poisson and then the other one? when you knew that it's not realistic? Or you just use some other mechanism to come up with some probability of merging based on queuing theory?
Right, exactly. And that uses the assumption that it's Poisson or M. Because I was thinking of
how does that work? Can you chalk it out for me? Even if you assume that it's Poisson. I want to see how you're thinking about this probability of merging.
Okay. Once, according to queuing theory, the number of requests in the queue is the arrival rate times the time spent in queue.
Or some closed loop system or open loop?
Open loop.
Time spent in the queue. Okay,
so,
and
so
somehow you're going to figure out the
have
time spent in the queue then. Somehow you need to figure out the time spent in the queue.
Oh, we have the time spent in queue in the no extension one.
We do?
Yeah. So we have the formula for the T, E or something.
Okay. Okay, so we have NQ then.
Right. And this would depend on the number of requests. I mean, this is for the number of requests that are not merged. That would be the number of requests in queue. The ones that are not merged, right? So P of M is the probability that the request is merged. 1 minus PM is the requests that are not merged.
Now, where do you get P of M from? How do you define P of M clearly? Can you define P of M?
That's the probability that a request will be merged.
Any request will be
any
merged.
Any kind of request will be merged.
Okay. Then
so this would be 1 minus PM because that's the number of requests in Q. The merge request won't add to the number of requests in the queue.
I have a request coming in, it has a certain probability of getting merged. Okay, I think it's fine. Yeah.
So with this we can find what PM is, right?
Wait.
Huh? We know all these parameters. We know the arrival rate and the number of requests in the queue from the workload.
No, you know number of requests based on TQ. You know number of requests based on TQ. There's two variables here.
Right.
NQ and TQ. You don't know both of them. You know only one and you derive the other one based on this previous formula.
You know NQ because
where do you get
that's
NQ
how you
from?
Derive NTQ from. And you can get NQ from the
aren't you saying
queue size in the
didn't you say that NQ was lambda times TQ?
Yeah.
Then NQ depends on TQ.
Right.
So given TQ, you can find NQ.
Sure, yeah.
But you change the equation now.
Right.
You change the equation to say that NQ equals lambda times TQ times 1 minus PM.
Right, but we know the values of NQ and TQ.
Where did that come from? I mean, you either know TQ or you know NQ, and you're calculating the other based on the first. Maybe I'm missing something here, but this doesn't seem correct to me. What I'm saying is that your original equation was NQ equals lambda times TQ, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This is how you get NQ? That's how you get NQ. Now you're changing this equation and you're saying I already have NQ. How can you do that? you're adding information that doesn't exist. This was the original equation, and that's how you found NQ.
But that equation was not to find NQ.
But, so
I mean, of course,
where did NQ come from?
We know what NQ is because...
NQ is the number of requests in the queue. How do you know that? I thought you knew that because you knew TQ and you knew this equation. That's how you knew NQ. If there is a different way to get NQ than this, then you have to ensure that that NQ also satisfies this equation.
Right.
So, if that is the case, what other equation do you have to independently get NQ? Is there a second equation? If I have now another equation which says NQ equals A times B,
then
I have two equations and two variables. One is NQ and the other is TM because TQ is already available.
Okay, so that is just Little's law. But if you have to apply Little's law using the merging probability, then it would be this.
Yeah, it is this, but then you cannot assume that you already have NQ because you get NQ based on the Little's law, right? Or do you get NQ
but
from
you can
some
find
other
NQ
way?
From BTT, right? The average number of requests in Q. The average Q size or something like that.
Well, then you already have compensated for the merging in that NQ itself, right? Yeah, but you don't have BTT information to come up with your model, right? You're doing this.
But we have.
Let me see what's going on here.
I think this is like a circular dependence, so we have to go through at least one iteration.
One iteration. Yeah, I'm not sure if the iterations are going to help, because I mean, what you need to do is to write these things on paper, the formulae. How are you going to come up with each step? Where is the source of each variable? Where is it being computed from? Which are the knowns and which are the unknowns in each equation? I think you have to be a lot more systematic. The NQ equals lambda times TQ times 1 minus PM is a reasonable formula, but I think the fault is in assuming that you know NQ already. I don't know if you can say that.
Okay.
I would expect the probability of merging to come from a different source, completely different source.
What do you mean?
I mean, it has to, the probability, if you think about the probability of merging, when does a request get merged?
When?
Yeah. When does a request get merged? When can a request be merged?
Well, if it's sequential to any of the requests in the queue which is not being serviced.
Correct. So, the probability of being merged is going to depend on what?
Well, it depends on the number of requests in the queue.
And?
And the sequential request in the queue.
And the sequential request.
Well, no. And the sequentiality, I guess.
Correct. So it depends on the sequentiality. And in this equation, there is no, I don't see that coming from anywhere at all. And there is no accounting for sequentiality.
But we are finding the sequentiality of the entire work. I thought about that, but we are finding the sequentiality of the entire workload. We don't know what are the exact number of requests at any given time in the queue that are sequential to an incoming request. I mean, from that sequentiality for the workload, we cannot say how if the incoming request is going to be sequential to the ones in the queue.
But then the incoming request is also part of the same workload. I mean, if you know sequentiality about the workload, you can use that to derive whether the current request has a, what is the probability of the current request being sequential to the previous ones in the queue.
But
I mean, I would expect your calculation.
No, because the thing is, you can have like a bunch of random requests and then like sequential requests interleave with random requests.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
But what you have is the total sequentiality for the entire workload.
What,
now,
what do you mean by total sequentiality for the entire workload? What does that mean?
That means suppose you have, let's say, 100 requests in the workload.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sequentiality that we know is for all the 100 requests.
Well,
now,
how do you define sequentiality for 100 requests? In the end, you have to go down to how two requests are sequential or not, right?
Right.
And that's what you need to use here somehow. I mean, the fact that you don't have any sequentiality is what leads me to say that your equation is wrong at the outset. There is no sequentiality captured in that equation.
Yeah, but I thought a lot about the sequentiality thing.
You think it doesn't matter?
I don't think it should matter.
It doesn't matter. The sequentiality doesn't matter in the merging.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but
I think that's the main factor of merging.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but it's hard to come up with the probability of merging based on sequentiality.
Why? I mean, yeah, it is. Everything is hard, right? But are you saying that an equation about probability of merging without any sequentiality in there is going to be correct?
No, what I'm saying is you don't need to use the sequentiality information to come up with the probability of merging.
You don't need to use it.
Right. I'm not saying you should not use it or you cannot.
Well,
either
you use it and it is correct to use it, or you do not use it and your equation is wrong. You cannot say that I'm not going to use it and still come up with the right equation.
But you
and
can
still say that, well, I can come up with the probability of merging based on sequentiality information. In this case, you have to make a choice, whether it's this one or that one. You cannot say both are good. Either you have a probability of merging without sequentiality and you get a correct equation, or not. You cannot say I can derive probability of merging in two different ways using two different approaches, and both will be correct. Saying that with this sort of equation, your probability of merging is going to be an incorrect value because it doesn't take into account the most significant factor, which is the sequentiality of the workload.
Well, but the sequentiality in the world, what we need here is the temporal aspect of sequentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you cannot get that from the sequentiality in the workload.
Well, you define your workload parameters, it's up to you. You can define your workload model whichever way you want. If you want to derive probability of merging and for that you need a certain characteristic of the workload, you need an extra parameter of the model, you need to stick it in. Otherwise you cannot derive this.
No, wait, let me, okay. And the size of the queue is say 4. So you can have any 4 requests in the queue, for example. But then, and this is your total workload size, right? When you know that this is sequential, and this is sequential.
Yeah.
I mean, these three are sequential. Right.
Yeah.
But when these requests are, like, if we know that this is what the sequentiality in the world wants.
You need to think more about this, Mike. You need to think what parameter of your workload will allow you to generate that probability of merging. And if you don't have that parameter yet, Well,
the thing is, we can use sequentiality, but then in that case, we also need to know
let me ask you one thing. When you say we can use sequentiality, is there a thought which says that I can come up with a probability of merging without using it? That's why you say we can use sequentiality rather than we must use sequentiality.
Yeah.
So you have some way of calculating or some intuition which tells you that there is a way to calculate probability of merging without knowing anything about the sequentiality.
Right.
There is an intuition in you. I don't know how you get that intuition, but
if we use sequentiality, then we need to know the time each request spends in the queue, and I think that could complicate things more. And then we don't have to use, the probability of merging in that case. Then we can directly come up with the number of requests that emerged.
I didn't say about times at all. I mean, I'm talking about aggregate metrics here. So, I mean, I don't have the answer at the tip of my fingertips. I mean, if I think, I can probably come up with something. But I'll have to spend time thinking about this problem. And I have not spent almost any time thinking about this problem that you have been spending a lot of time. But one thing which is obvious to me is that any probability of merging that you come up with without some idea of what the sequentiality is in that equation is going to be wrong. That's what my intuition tells me. Because you yourself describe what is the...
The thing is, to define sequentiality, we need to know...
I'm saying that you can define sequentiality in many different ways. You choose the way in which you want to define sequentiality, which will help you come up easily with the probability of merging.
For instance, we can use like the number of requests.
The other thing which I wanted to say, when you started off with the number of seeks, small or large, whenever I hear number, I think that's a bad workload metric.
Okay.
You should use things like percentages, ratios. Because if you ask someone, tell me the number of requests in your workload, it's a hard question for any user to answer. So when you think about the workload parameters, think about the user of your model and
okay.
How easily they can define those parameters.
Yeah, so we can use percentage seeks.
Yeah, so you should use those sort of not so specific,
yeah,
but relatively, you know, accurate metrics in your, or rather I should say parameters in your model.
Okay.
Same thing with sequentiality.
Well, sequentiality is like, it then depends on...
What I want you to think about is, go back to your previous comment. What does probability of merging depend on for a new request that comes into the queue? Mm-hmm. Then work your way backwards. What kind of sequentiality information do you need?
No, but the thing is, I thought a lot about that sequentiality information, but it's really, I think it could just complicate things to define sequentiality because...
Yeah, I mean, these models can get complicated.
Yeah.
And sometimes people actually drool on complicated formulae, right, when they're reading the paper. So, don't shy away from it. And I don't like complicated formulae because I think most of the correct formulae are elegantly simple.
Right. Yeah.
The complicated formulae.
A lot of math. That's what I was trying to.
Yeah. So I think that you can. I don't see why it's so complicated already. I don't think it is that complicated. I think there should be a straightforward way in which you can use sequentiality. At least my intuition tells me that there can be simple ways in which you can incorporate sequentiality.
Possibly. When I thought about this, this was sometimes ago before I thought of the, using the probability of merging thing, but to me it was very difficult to come up with a definition of sequentiality because that depends on the service time.
No, you define the sequentiality whichever way you want. I mean, you can you can approximate it. It doesn't have to be exact. You don't have to specify times and things like that.
No, no, not for the sequentiality. But if you have to use sequentiality, you need to know service time for the queue.
Service time for the queue?
Right, because you need to know how much time a request spends in the queue so that an incoming request to that request is sequential to that request. The average number of time spent in the queue.
Average amount of time spent in the queue.
By request.
But
and that,
but
again,
isn't
and that,
that
depends
isn't
on the number of requests that emerge. So that again becomes circular.
It does become circular, yes. It does become circular, and that's the whole idea of these queuing systems, right? I mean,
yeah, maybe that's the governor's model.
So you could have, I mean, even if it becomes circular, you can come up with multiple equations and then solve them, right?
Right, but to find the number of requests, to find the number of, or to find the service time of a request.
That can be a variable. You plug it into your probability of merging, use that probability of merging which has that variable into another equation, and then you solve it.
Right, now what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to say is that the probability, not probability, but the service time for a request in the queue may not be the same for all the requests in the entire workload. It may be the same, or it may remain constant
to pick
for
up an average.
But what I'm saying is it could remain constant for a small unit of time, but it can vary depending on the workload.
Absolutely, it can vary, but you have to always go with now averages. That's the whole point of modeling, Medha. You cannot break it down to individual anymore.
Right, but the average may not...
Yeah, that's why your model is a model. It's not a real system. It's not going to give you exact numbers for each request.
Right.
It's going to give you good numbers on the average.
Right.
It will give you a good average response time. It will not give you the entire distribution of the response time. Or the exact values. Maybe it can give you a distribution, but not exact values, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I want you to sort of break out of the mode of individual requests, times, number of requests, and things like that, and go to aggregate metrics.
Okay.
Not generic, aggregate. So aggregate
metrics.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think there is a straightforward way to include your sequentiality, as long as you define sequentiality in a good way, so that you can use it inside your probability of merging formula.
Okay. I'll see. Do you have any ideas?
I'll have to think about it.
Okay. So that's your intuition.
Yeah. The key would be to how do you define the sequentiality so you can use it.
Okay, so I'll try to define sequentiality.
In any case, regardless of whether you do that or not, this equation is, I don't think it's correct. It's not going to help. Because there are other problems with this, not just because there is no sequentiality in there. I think you have one equation with two variables, two unknowns. MQ and PM.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't think we're going to need that anyway, because we probably need this for any workflow. So we also have this like a random variable.
Yeah.
The geometry distribution or something. Okay.
So what about your validation thing with the disk mechanism? Or that's this? You were doing some experiments on Monday.
Right. So I tried using the model which was in another paper for the disk cache, for the rewrite cache thing. And it reduced the error percentage a little bit, but not very much.
When you say a little bit, but not very much, for
it's by like 4-5%.
Out of?
From what it was before.
Yeah, what is that out of? What was before?
Oh, before it was plus 30 and minus something, minus 30 or something. Remember, one was overestimating, the other was underestimating for the different workloads.
One was and the other was, what are these ones?
So for the first workload for the SVN, it was overestimating.
Mm-hmm.
And for the developer, it was underestimating.
Mm-hmm. So you had some 300% error at some point.
Oh, well, that reduced to 30.
Okay.
About plus minus 30.
How did that happen?
Remember I told you that we were using only the large and the small C, but they are very small C. So I used that information and that reduced it to 30%.
I see. So how did the workload model change because of that?
Yes.
So what do you...
So I put that in the paper.
How does it change? Can you summarize?
The workload model or disk mechanism
model?
The workload model. Well, I just defined the number of seeks as large and small, local and large, no, local and random now, or something like that. So there's an additional parameter in the workload model that says very small seeks or local seeks which are for which the time is almost zero.
Mm-hmm. So that's the workload model.
Right, yeah.
So you have small seeks, very small seeks, and large seeks. Is that how it is?
Yeah.
So in that
I use small, local, and large function.
Small, local, and large.
Yeah. Local, small, and large. But I think we can change the term now. Local is close by, small is...
Why don't you just say settle or something? Settling. Settle only or something like that. Because it's not really a seek, right? It's just repositioning or resettling. You can say call it resettling, local, resettling, small, and large.
Okay.
So that changes the workload model.
Yes. Well, earlier the disk mechanism model just had.
That improved it by so much, 300%
yeah.
to 30%.
Because we were considering the very small seeks to be local. Small seeks, sorry. The local seeks.
You mean the resettling seeks?
To be local seeks. Or small seeks. Earlier we had local and local.
Let's from the next meeting, let's use the right terminology so we don't get
confused.
Yeah?
Okay.
You are the one who's going to lead the terminology.
Okay.
So you have to at least have it right.
Okay. Yeah, so earlier we were considering the resettling to be small.
And if most of the seeks are resettling seeks, then you can have substantial...
Which is believable because we have a lot of spatial locality, right?
Maybe, yeah. That would be good to verify. Anyway, so... Okay, so you're moving along. And when is the paper deadline?
Next week of the abstract deadline, a week after the paper deadline.
Which is, when is the actual paper deadline?
Fourth, I think.
4th of April, that's for mascots.
Yeah.
Alright, time to keep things up.
It looks like it's never gonna end.
It's all up to you, Meera. It'll end whenever you finish it up.
So
you gotta move faster.
Yeah.
Focus more, work more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying something.
Yeah, so should we meet on Monday though?
Yeah, I mean, if we have something to discuss, we certainly can. You let me know.
Yeah, I think I'll try the experiments for the tweaks for the disk and I'll do this modeling thing for the frequentiality information.
Okay, alright, sure.
Because I already had something with the frequentiality, but I just didn't go that way. I'm sitting at that sometime.
I don't think you can really avoid it. If you want to do probability of merging, you cannot avoid that. That's my feeling. I don't know how.